Okay, Delta, come on up to the mic.
Sound check. Test one, test two, test three. I am on the phone, so I'm going to ask if somebody could post verses for me. Any volunteers? Had a question, Mike, related to the lesson. It's about for example, the Galatians. You were talking about the Romans and the different groups of people that Paul was writing to in the Roman letter. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, where Paul writes about the law being their schoolmaster. That would be an example of what you were talking about. I'll wait for the next verse. Galatians 3, 24 and 25. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Was anybody in this room, actually anybody on planet Earth, under the law of Moses that Paul's writing about there? That's the law that he's talking about. The answer is no. But the Galatians were the people that, and they were, Mike's order was they were Jews, they were Jewish proselytes, and they were the Greeks, the Gentiles that were synagogues of the Jews, that were studying the law of Moses, reasoning out of the scriptures for 3 weeks. So they were under the law. The law was their schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. But it's not our schoolmaster today. So those are the distinctions, that the law was never the schoolmaster to the Gentiles. Absolutely right. So, Joy, LDC, are you in the room? Did you hear that explanation? I think it was you that asked that question recently. Maybe she missed it. If not, we can go over it. And, Thessalonians there in Acts chapter 17, Paul, as his manner was, went into them. They're in the synagogue of the Jews, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And then verse 3, it tells us that the gospel of God was preached, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And the next verse will tell us that there were Greeks, and of the women, not a few. And some of them believed. And they're in the synagogue of the Jews. Did you put verse 1 on the screen and I missed it? No, you didn't. They're in the synagogue of the Jews, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. That means a whole bunch of Gentiles that were in the synagogue of the Jews believed what Paul had taught them in verse 3, and of the chief women, not a few. So another part of that is if you keep reading in Acts chapter 17, what gospel, those of you that have heard this preached, the gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, which gospel did Paul preach to them in Acts chapter 17, verse 3. He preached to them, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Amen, gracified saint, the gospel of God. Compare scripture to Romans 1, 1 through 4, and you get the gospel. who Jesus Christ is. And then if you keep reading there in Acts chapter 17, and I believe Mike's taught this lesson in the past, Paul got run out of town. He's got verse 5 there, but the Jews that believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. For some reason, I like that little turn of phrase, lewd fellows of the baser sort. You can just imagine what type of guys they were, and gathered a company and set the city up in an uproar. Anyway, they got run out of Dodge. They got run out of town. And before Paul was able to preach the salvation message, the follow-up gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. And we can pick up, and then Paul goes on to Athens, and he sends Timotheus, he sends Timothy back to Thessalonica to preach unto them the gospel of Christ. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think, that he was only able to preach the gospel of God unto them only. And then Timothy was sent back to establish them in I forget the terminology, I don't have the verses on the screen. But that's important to understand what Paul's pattern was. I came in a little bit late, but Paul was talking about 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. When I came in the room, can somebody post those for me? Something I want to point out here. This is a faithful say. Now, this is. Let me preface this by saying that this is one of the last epistles that Paul had written. Paul has received the full revelation of all the mysteries, everything that the risen, ascended Lord Jesus Christ is going to reveal to Paul. He has received when he writes this letter, and that wasn't true with all of his letters. That wasn't Paul's the revelations from the risen, ascended Lord Jesus Christ to Paul were progressive in nature. He didn't get it all at once, and so by the time he writes 1 Timothy, he's got all the and the dispensation of the grace of God is in full swing. So let me read the verses here. They're on the screen. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, of whom I was first on the road to Damascus. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all long suffering. Now here's the part that I want to focus on. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Okay, that here, believe on him, that should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. That statement isn't true in Acts chapter 9, because there were two legitimate gospels still being preached up until the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of Christ, the gospel of the uncircumcision, was a legitimate gospel that Paul preached. But the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the circumcision, was also, at the time Paul wrote the Roman letter, the Galatian letter, the Corinthian letters, the Thessalonian letters, is a short term of the gospel. But there was a period of time, and this question came up last week when I had my room open, where there was an overlap of legitimate gospels being preached. There was a time, that's why when Paul writes in Galatians chapter 1, If anyone preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. At the time Paul wrote the Galatian letter, there were still two legitimate gospels being preached. Peter and the 12, the little flock of kingdom saints, were still preaching a legitimate gospel to none but unto Jews only, Acts chapter 11, verse 19, and it was being believed. There was also the legitimate gospel that Paul was preaching. But by the time Paul writes the letters to Timothy, that statement is 100% true. That me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So, before that, there were two gospels being preached. So that just goes to what Mike was teaching about tonight, the progressive revelations to Paul and the progressive ministry of Paul and how things changed, and explain some of these difficult passages, like the law was not my schoolmaster to bring me to Christ. Was there anybody in the room that went to school and studied the law of Moses? You learned, you know, and I know that I guess Jewish kids still go through their, what is it, bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah and things like that, and they study the Talmud and the law of Moses and all those things, but it's not bringing them to Christ, is it? It's for their Jewish religion. But Paul writes clearly to the Galatians that the law was their schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. But it wasn't anybody's schoolmaster today. Let's see, I got to push buttons to see if any hands are up. And I see Doxson's got his hand up. And let me just quickly share the gospel real quick before I get off the mic. There is more than one gospel in the Bible. There's several different promises of salvation throughout biblical human history. But there's only one gospel that will save anybody today in the dispensation of the grace of God. And that's Paul's My Gospel, the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation, that was dispensed and committed to the apostle, to Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus. And that gospel, the message of that gospel, is the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross is to us that are saved, the power of God unto salvation. And that message is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that's the gospel of God, proven by his resurrection from the dead, lived a perfect, sinless life, and he died on the cross, and he was buried, and he was resurrected by God the Father for our justification. Justification means to be accounted righteous in the eyes of God. And then all it takes is one split second of trust in that gospel of Christ, that Christ died for our sins and was resurrected for our justification, and we're saved permanently. Saved immediately, saved permanently. We don't have to endure to the end. Our sins are not in remission. They're forgiven. And this Holy Spirit puts a seal on us that cannot be broken. We're baptized, identified into the church, the body of Christ. All kinds of things happen by the operation of God in that split second of trust. So, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are saved. Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and resurrected for our justification. Trust that, and you are saved. Open mic.